And on this Energy Facts Chat, we are proud to announce that we are now a podcast. You can find us on your local podcast platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. And then also, we discuss the geopolitical situation going on right now when it comes to energy, such as OPEC Plus decision to cut 1.16 million barrels of oil, combined with the administration's step doubling down on, quote, green energy. Mike, take it to the local level.
JP, you let us off with a great setup of the national scene, and we finish it off with some of the policies being rolled out in California that are being mirrored in Washington, D.C., whether it's vehicle mandates, mandates for home appliances and removal of natural gas hookups to existing homes and new homes. So we cover a lot. And what that means and how expensive it is.
So thank you for tuning in and let us know what you think. And welcome to another Energy Facts Chat. It's me, JP Warren. We got Mike Umbro tuning in. I'm recording this. If y'all don't know, I'm in Houston. Mike's out in San Diego, California.
That's right. I'm home today.
Wait. So, what? Nothing. I'm trying to do this new way to record this. It's like, upload details. I'm like, we're not done talking yet. All right. Wait. So.
Are we starting over?
Record only. Ask all the guests to do this. Yeah, okay. Let's
delay. I'm on 2G. Hold on.
2G, bro. What are you like? 2005?
There.
All right, let's start it over.
That's better.
Yeah. All right, ready?
What? Okay, yeah.
All right.
Fire it up. Yeah, I'm ready.
Three, two, and one. And welcome to another Energy Fact Chats with me. Tuning in from Houston. And we got Mike Umbro tuning in and talking. I don't know why I'm saying that. I think this is like it's a nervous thing. I mean, this is a big deal for those of you out there listening or watching right now. If you've been watching us, we obviously appreciate the support. And honestly, just the communication that we've gotten, the feedback we've got from our listeners right now. However, this is kind of there's a little bit of new pressure right now. We successfully
is there new pressure.
You know, I'm gonna throw it in there. That way I have an excuse if I start messing up. Okay, so recently, I'm not sure if y'all know this. Y'all probably don't, but as of last night, we successfully started posting these or uploading these or putting them to the whatever. And you can find Energy Fact Checks. Yeah, sure, Metaverse, the virtual verse, but you can find Energy Facts Chats now on Spotify, Apple. I think it's going to be on Apple soon. Just started the process last night, so we're pretty excited. So now you can kind of get your Energy Facts Chats wherever you get your podcasts and wherever you consume your podcasts, whether it's the gym, whether it's in the commute, whether you're in the kitchen, wherever you are, you can now listen to Energy Facts Chats. Wherever you get your podcast. So I'm pumped about this. So let us know what you think, and I appreciate this. And Mike, dude, it's been a crazy week in the energy space, hasn't it, man?
Every week's a crazy week these days,
man. I mean,
yeah, it has. It's
we are recording this. It's April 7th. It's a gloomy day in Houston. Extremely gloomy in Houston, and you know, not even a week ago, OPEC Plus announced their voluntary. OPEC announced their voluntary cuts before their meeting at 1.16 million barrels a day. You know, as the week continued, some stuff was uncovered. Not uncovered, I don't like it's a conspiracy, but I mean, the reports came out that, you know, it's not a conspiracy. I mean,
it's all a conspiracy, JP. It's a,
you know what,
oil market governed by a cartel that is not our friend, and we're trying to turn off oil and gas in general as a country.
And yet ask for, so I mean the report has come out is the Saudis were very or not very upset. I'm kind of heightening it up right there, but the Saudis were not too happy with the U.S. decision to not fill up the SPR when prices were about $70 a barrel. So you have all that excess product on the market, and Saudi was kind of, you know, obviously looking out for their best interests. And they had a surprise meeting before their scheduled meeting on Monday and decided to reduce the oil output by 1.16 million barrels. And I guess the reason that why the U.S. didn't buy it is because there were two out of four sites that were under maintenance or something like that. Well, anyway, so that's happened. And, you know, after that, you have, you know, you have, you know, the administration saying that they're going to be working with oil and gas companies to keep gasoline prices low. I'm not sure about that. And then you also have the administration saying that they're gonna, now is the time to double down on, again, green energy in this push. And look, again, for those that are just tuning in right now, Mike and I, we love all sorts of energy, whether it's renewable, whether it's hydrocarbons. We love reliable, affordable, dependable energy. And we love seeing what's happening in the renewable space. And we love talking about what's happening in the hydrocarbon space. So it's for me, this kind of brings an air of caution and an easiness, or anxiety, if you will, Mike. I think
you're stressed. You seem stressed, maybe a little bit. I hear it in your voice.
Well, yeah,
I mean, you feel pressure from this accessibility of our show, the oil market.
No, look, the show's just you and me talking right now. But I mean, look, you have these nations that are talking about developing their own currency. You're seeing more of the petrodollar not being used, or more of the U.S. dollar not being used to trade oil. You're seeing yuan being used primarily. You're seeing local currencies such as, you know, Brazil, Japan is even buying Russian crude for under the $60 cap. So.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of stress in multiple markets.
You're seeing a lot of stress in banking, energy, and all that stuff. And at the same time, it's just I guess this is a time that I guess once I get off my soapbox, I'm going to say now's not the time to move forward wishfully in one direction and cut out what's been working previously. Now's the time, I guess, take. I mean, this is the whole point of this, is to look at energy with pragmatic approach, and one that is first that can meet the energy demands of today and tomorrow, but also what makes sense when it comes to, I mean, look, we can flip, let's say there was a switch that we could flip everything to electrify everything and all that stuff. That doesn't talk about the cost. That doesn't talk about the consumers, the cost. It doesn't talk about the reliability. So again, this is a pragmatic discussion, and we want to thank everyone. I'm off my soapbox. We're 6 minutes in. And I apologize, and thank you for everyone for listening to that. So, Mike, what's on your mind, man?
You set it up. You have been reading and consuming some news. I think you're exactly right. The markets are stressed. The banking environment is stressed. You've got turmoil with wars continuing in Ukraine. You've got Israel, you know, bombing and retaliating. This morning, there's conflict, and I think what's happening between the global reorganization and reopening from COVID, simultaneously, governments like the United States and Washington DC policies are trying to pivot away from fossil fuels, and their justification is, we need to get off of these fossil fuels because of these issues and because of the price variability and availability, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And you and I, from more of a fossil fuel background, are looking at it saying, well, that's not a possibility. And you can't physically engineer and develop these projects in that short amount of time.
Right.
To transition 80% of the energy that we consume. So I think that's what's happening. We're seeing those kind of two forces hit up against one another. So
well, I'm going to drop another turd in that punch bowl right there, buddy. So so I read this week, you have, you know, the administration pushing for, you know, EVs and, you know, again, the headline said green, and we know that no energy is green energy, but, so, I mean, you have the administration doubling down on that. But then also I saw an article that, you know, this new currency that potentially may come out with the BRICS nations and be based off of gold, but also, which is interesting, rare earth minerals. And there was an article saying that China is considering putting some sort of ban or reduction on rare earth exports to the U.S. And I think that might cause some issues for this. Let's move forward with you know, this green energy virtue. And the reality is, well, we're not getting our rare earth minerals from China. I mean, it's gonna only increase again. It's gonna reduce supply of rare earth minerals and only increase supply. So again,
well, on that front, you know, Governor Newsom was out in the Salton Sea today in El Centro, California, touting the ability to extract lithium out of really nasty, hazardous waste in the Salton Sea. So yeah, you're hearing policymakers just say, "Hey, we're gonna source these rare earth minerals here at home," and that's a tall task when you consider what it requires.
That means
from a permitting standpoint to do these kinds of processes in the United States is it's not as easy as it is elsewhere.
All right, so Mike, I'm gonna break it down. How about this? So we're talking. I just kind of went a spiel about the geopolitical level and all that stuff, and that's something that people can, you know, kind of. I highly encourage people to start, you know, reading about the news and peel away the opinion side of things and kind of look at, you know, what that means for you as a consumer. What's happening in California right now? Let's start off with the natural gas appliance position to ban natural gas appliances in new builds and pre-existing ones. I mean, tell us the backdrop around that. What does that mean to you?
I think that's something that every American consumer needs to be following and worried about, because the precedent is being set out here in big cities. San Francisco, San Diego just announced today that they are banning natural gas and trying to phase it out of new and existing homes in the city limits. So imagine all of our appliances. We take stock of what's in our yards. I mean, your barbecue, your oven, your stove, your washer, dryer, your water heater, your backup generator, if you live somewhere where there's
storms. So we
got seven major pieces of equipment in somebody's home right there, potentially, that now the government is saying you need to replace all this. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy, while simultaneously requesting from the Public Utility Commission that they can raise prices on gas delivered to homes and electricity delivered to homes. It's so you're getting it on both ends. You're getting the price increases on your bills, and then at some point in the future, whenever it becomes law, you're going to have to replace everything that powers and heats your home or cooks your food.
Well, what's worrisome about that is let's look at this. Okay, I live in Houston. Okay, I mean, people listening wherever you are in the country and you're not in California, why do I care about this? You're right, because policy spreads. It does spread. In Houston, I mean, we have a lot of rain. We have floods. We people talk about the whole, you know, a grid situation in Texas and all that stuff. So there, I remember in last year there was two boil notices. Okay. Yeah. And what that means, if the water's, you know, pretty much just, hey, look, there's a boil advisory. So if the water's not safe, you have to boil it.
That's fine. Sick, boil the water.
That's fine and all, but you have to understand, usually boil notices come after a major storm or something like that where the power is out. So if
you have no power.
And also on that standpoint, I have no way to, whether I have an infant, whether I have a 9-year-old, whether I have, whether I need to bathe or brush my teeth or something like that, I'm going to be restricted on my ability to follow that boil notice, because number one, I won't have a gas stove that's independent from the main power source of the home. And number two, I have no power to heat up the electric stove for that. Okay. Let's take a step back. Okay. Well, prepare, JP, more bottled water. Stock up on bottled water if that's your main concern. That sounds great and all, but I don't know if you know anything about me. I don't plan like that. It's always afterthought.
Nobody does.
Nobody does. Yeah, it's like I don't have a bunker full of shit that I can get into.
And you could not afford to do that now if you wanted to start that, because everything's so damn expensive. You'd be spending thousands of dollars preparing your bunker.
So let's take a step back on that as well. Okay, so let's pretend it's 2026 in California right now or Houston. There's a boil notice. I have an electric stove. Okay, well, I can't really boil water. So I need to go to the store and grab water. Well, the ice, the internal combustion engine ban is taking place. Mm-hmm. So I have to drive my electric vehicle, $60,000, maybe probably higher. I then due to rare earth minerals. Okay, so I can't charge my car because electricity is out. So I can't go to the store and grab water. So what I'm saying is where is the, I guess, is there any, you know what it kind of reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of, you know, reminds me of like corporate HSC developing policies and procedures for stuff that happens in the field. Like there's no realistic real world where this is like, yeah, this sounds like a great move forward for these huge populated cities.
It's asinine because there are examples of this in the real world. You can look at San Francisco in the Bay Area with the amount of diesel generators that are in the Bay Area. It's well documented. You can look at that because people want redundancy and availability. And that's important to people because like you say, if you have a boil notice, you need to be able to access heat to boil water. It's as simple as that. You can look at somewhere like Lebanon, where it was once a developing, you know, beautiful city, and now they don't have reliable power. There's diesel generators everywhere, intermittent power. It's a dump. So there's different examples and for different reasons in different governments and locations, but you can see where this is going. Why on earth would you take away and replace a perfectly good appliance in existing homes? That doesn't make sense. I mean, stoves can last decades, right? I mean, you hope if you buy a good stove and you do your research, you're trying to buy something that's going to last a while because they're expensive. So just the thought of all of this and the expense and not being honest with people and saying, you know what, your appliances are totally safe. We just want to control the power coming into your house, and we want to control charging you and tolling you for that power. That's what's going on.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. What? So you and I are sitting here talking about, okay, I'm back. Sorry about that, everyone. So what I was trying to do, I was we're talking about the natural gas situation going on in California right now. And I just kind of want to, Mike, I'm trying to drop in this. I just want to share this with you. Where is it? Here it is. Okay. So we're talking about natural gas right now. Okay. Right. This is today. Okay. Renewables making up a huge chunk of that. Right.
48%.
48%. You have natural gas making up 28% of that. Okay.
And you got 80% solar. So most of your renewable right now is solar.
Okay. So let's look at this yesterday. Okay. Okay. Again, this does not surprise us. If you've been a fan of the show, which I know everyone is out there tuning in, you've noticed kind of this. If you go to YouTube, you can kind of find out what we're talking about. This is the electricity generated sources, kind of where the electricity is coming from. And again, same stuff. We talked about this before. You can go watch episode 2, 3, 4, 5, I think, where we kind of covered the CAISO, the California ISO. And, you know, you have natural gas really picking up the brunt from, you know, sundown to sunrise most days, actually. So we're talking about coming in, right? We're talking about coming in and the backbone of electricity generation is kind of kicking that to the side and say, well, we don't need that anymore. Or you can't use this anymore.
Yeah, natural gas is half the grid. Exactly. Yeah. When you blend it throughout the months and the days and the nights over time, it's 47% of the grid. So now how effective is that when you're phasing it out and ripping out appliances and replacing them needlessly and causing people to buy brand new appliances for no reason? And now you're talking about firing that with natural gas. So how effective is that in terms of you're losing your redundancy, you're costing people a lot of money to replace their equipment, and now you're then powering it on fossil fuels?
Well, you're also kind of
in the models somehow all of the ISOs across the United States are going to somehow get to 100% clean renewable energy 24/7. That's what we're being told.
Okay. So I mean, we're talking about, I guess the mentality behind that is like, okay, well, it's not in my house anymore, but yet the state, so it's still the same NIMBY mentality that you're getting, whether it's coming from oil imports, whether you're getting from energy generation, whether you're getting from oil imports, not just from around the globe, but from the surrounding states as well. It's not in my backyard. As long as we're not doing it, we feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, but I think it's, I think this is becoming more than just not in my backyard, because now they're in your damn house. Now it's, it's a total craze, religion, cult following of electrify everything with right. no analysis and thoughtfulness about how that occurs going forward. Just, we're going to do it and worry about the consequences later. It's reckless. It's reckless. What? It's unplanned, and it's being mandated by policymakers, not professionals.
And not only that, it also sounds better too. I mean, if you look at it, you're like, "Oh, wow, we can electrify, you know, we can, you know, electrify everything." Like, that sounds a lot better for the everyday consumer who probably doesn't understand where electricity is being generated from.
Exactly.
Or, we want to live or in how the, important it is.
Right. We want to be George Jetson. We just plug it in. We've got a robot AI in the house to do all our chores and flying cars, and everything's electric and renewable, and it's just going to be that way. It's utopia. Just believe us. You know, we're going to mandate it into existence. And, you know, that doesn't really work that way in the real world. We can see
it doesn't.
We can see how expensive it is already.
So I get, have I asked you this yet? I feel like I was about to ask you. I'm not sure if I did, because I was thinking I was looking at the California ISO. What's been kind of the barbershop around the table, around, you know, the local delis, all that stuff, conversation about? I mean, I know it just released today in San Diego, but
yeah,
what's been some of the comments and conversations? I mean, this is kind of like an ongoing theme in the California space right now.
This makes me want to go down to Mona Lisa in San Diego and get a deli sandwich. Oh, you're making me hungry with that, Jake. But you know, if I went down there and got the Italian sub at Mona Lisa, I think everybody would just be talking about how expensive the sandwich is. And I think that's one of the sad parts about this, is these policies are being rolled forward and people might not even, you know, have interest in reading an article like that in the paper, or maybe don't even read the paper in general. And
they just get it from
go have a sandwich and damn, this is a $12 sandwich. What's going on? It's that type of a scenario everywhere you go in California. And I think probably where you are you seeing prices up in Houston when you go out to dinner?
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely gone up. The thing is though, I guess it's fortunate, but it's also not fortunate, is that I am in Houston. So there is a lot of energy professionals in this. So people are touched by the energy industry here, whether it's the hydrocarbon side or whether it's the renewable side. So I feel like Houston has a pretty good knowledge of energy, but Think about outside of, you know, energy hubs, whether it's, you know, I mean, whether it's California, Chicago, New England, wherever that is. I mean, there's not a lot, you know, there's not a lot of knowledge, realistic knowledge on kind of what's going on, how it's going to impact everyday consumers once right. these policies are turned into mandates.
Right. And why would anybody care? Exactly. And a lot of people don't care about California because they just want to not talk about it. It's like, man.
Not only that, it's crazy
policies. Everybody's leaving. Nobody wants to be there.
Let them leave. Good. Let that state swallow itself. Yeah. But the problem is, I mean, it's kind of like a, it's kind of like gangrene. I mean, once it starts, I mean, it spreads unless you take care of it. And it's not a question of taking care of anything, but just kind of educating people to kind of, once their electricity bill comes in the mail and they start looking at it, okay, why is this so much?
Right.
What's going on that's outside of my control that's causing this to go up?
Exactly. And that's why I asked you if it was more expensive to go out to eat in Houston, because most people might not tie it back. Take Kern County, California. Grows more food for the country than any other county in the United States. So a tremendous amount of everybody's agriculture comes out of California. So how do you grow food, and how do you harvest food? Water and diesel and fertilizer. Yeah. And so all of these policies policies being rolled out in California impact people no matter where they live. It does not matter. You know, 40% of your imports into the United States come through our ports. They're moved by diesel. They're impacted by refinery price gouging mandates. It's all related to everybody in the country, but it's sad and dangerous for everybody to ignore what's happening.
And that's, and I think that's why this is, I mean, you know, I was talking, you're like, hey man, I mean, I know what I'm doing out here and all this stuff, but I don't think anyone else cares what I'm doing. But, you know, talking to people and, you know, people that, you know, listen to this now podcast, there is positive feedback about this, because a lot of times this isn't being brought to the table. All we're hearing is stuff that's coming out of, you know, your governor, Gavin's mouth. You know, it's not the, it's not the everyday people of California that we're hearing from. So no, we don't want California to fail and all that stuff. Yes, it's we want the policies to be more beneficial towards the consumer. But I do think this is important for people to take tune to, because we talked about this another one. California rolled out that 2030 EV mandate or goal or whatever that is. All the way across the country, New Jersey did the same thing probably about a month later. They announced the same thing about a month later. So.
Right.
So what I'm saying,
Biden,
is you
Biden just announced that the California mandate on heavy hauling, you know, tractor trailers to convert those to electric, you know, the federal government will follow California's lead, essentially.
Yeah. And then you have and then also another thing. I see Gavin doing a U.S. tour to.
Oh, he's everywhere, baby. He's everywhere.
Is that an early campaign tactic-y thing? We're doing a couple predictions here.
I believe that he's running for president for a number of reasons. I think one of which is going to be running away from what's happening in California, because the price structure of everything is not sustainable. Let's just call it that, whether it's real estate or renting a place to live or groceries or just cost of everything, moving around, transportation, mobility, electricity, oil, gasoline, whatever it is, it's expensive. So I think he's going to be, running, and I think he's going to be touting a lot of these mandates as leading the country and being a strong leader on the environment and being strong against big oil and oil and gas. And I think there's a framework being laid that is putting big industry against the common person in order to politicize things.
Yeah.
And without recognition that there's a lot of independent entrepreneurs and independent
it's easier to group everything. Easier to group everything is big pharma, big tech, big oil, all that stuff. It's a lot easier to do that. And that way you don't really dive into the issues on what's going on. What else is going on? We got about 3 minutes to kind of wrap this up. What are you going to leave us with? What advice or resources that people can kind of dive in to kind of learn more about, I guess, what's not just affecting California? I mean, yes, California, but also kind of what's affecting their state or their energy issues.
Obviously, yeah, I think
let's pull this out. Let's I think people can kind of, I was kind of setting you up there. They can look up www.energyandscience.com. Obviously, following this podcast and kind of spreading this podcast, what you've learned here, or even sharing the podcast, would be awesome.
We're rocking and rolling at energyandscience.com. I would be stoked for more people to join. If you're listening to this and you're not in California, join our Californians for Energy and Science, because we're looking at policies that are impacting us here. And we're looking at it from the perspective of energy, economics, and the environment, those three factors. So it'll be a good learning experience, and we want everybody involved so that we can educate people. I think it's all about education.
Real quick, when you're talking about the economics too, you're also talking about the impact to communities out in California.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think this is coming to Midland just as it's hit Bakersfield in the Central Valley. I think it's
there's a couple flyovers that EPA have done, finding some. Yeah, it's creeping into West Texas.
Absolutely. And you see in Houston, you know, a lot of people touting that area as a green tech and venture innovation hub and emerging place. It makes sense. It's the oil and gas hub of the world. So it makes sense that it's transitioning a focus towards, you know, the solutions to these policies in the marketplace. So let's all learn about it together. I guess that's my message for the weekend.
I'll tell you what, I don't live in California, and I am on the email list of the California for Energy and Science, and it's pretty damn good. You send out some good stuff. Obviously, I don't consume all of it. I probably consume about 80% of it, but because I think the rest of the 20 is probably, I'd probably need a discussion with it. But it's pretty good information. I recommend it. I recommend everyone expanding their knowledge on whether it's energy policy or energy in general. I mean, you know, Liberty Energy, they have a book out there called Better Human Lives, and it takes the approach on energy to help humanity out versus oil and gas versus this, which is ridiculous rhetoric in my
opinion. And they'll send you one for free. They said, I put my info in there, got one. It's a great book.
But I think there's a lot of people can do to kind of learn more on why things are going up. And, you know, it's so easy. Oh, inflation, whatever. But start looking into kind of your appliances and really think about, should one of these mandates occur, how would that affect, your, not everyday life, but those times where you, an emergency, when you need it, when you need that stove to boil water, when you need your car to go, whether it's, get water or go to the hospital or something like that, when it's out of power and there's no power. So it's definitely alarming, might be a word, but it's definitely something to kind of start diving into as a consumer.
Absolutely. No, it's something to follow and study, and it's a daily grind. So,
all right. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Energy Fact Chat. Me, JP Warren, and Mike Umbra.
Later, bro. Yeah.
All right. Want to thank
whatever you
want
to call me.
I like it, man. I like the bro at the end. If you want to,
bro's easy.
Thank you for tuning in. If you want to share this with anyone, we appreciate it. And just let us know what you think. And we'll see you next time.